do a roll call. Governor Quinn, Secretary Hannan, Chair Wolf.
Here.
Director Banks.
Here.
Director Tanum. Director Morris.
Here.
Director Cradle.
Here.
Director Rawl.
Here.
Director Saldana.
Here.
Director Towns.
Here.
Director Wisner. We have a quorum.
Thank you. And start, Mr. Hatcher.
Safety update. We are coming into our driving, heavy driving season here in the summer, and summer driving, and so we thought Captain Jesterman could give an update on both Memorial Day and even more generally some of our summer driving safety initiatives. So, Captain.
Thank you very much. Good morning, directors.
Good morning.
We're coming to a very important holiday this weekend, which is Memorial Day. It's a day of remembrance for those who have given their life for our nation. It's also known as the unofficial beginning of summer. Our officers will be out in force this weekend, enforcing all the laws to make this a very safe holiday. In addition to routine patrols, we plan to have our airplane up in the air. We plan to have motorcycles. We'll be doing seatbelt enforcement zones, texting while driving details, and also promoting public safety on our highways. We've been doing education for the last month to get people in the right mindset for summer. We've done 20 presentations to educate over 10,000 teens on traffic safety in preparation for proms, graduations, and summer events. Our motorcycle officers have educated riders in motorcycle safety at both formal and informal gatherings. As a matter of fact, we were going to bring one of our motorcycles in here, but we thought it would be too much of a distraction.
But it is downstairs for anybody who wants to drive it.
Yes. We've also partnered with Tollway Communications on the Kids Identification and Safety Seat Initiative. That program initiated this month and will continue throughout the summer at not only places on the tollway, but outside and near our tollways. In addition to checking for child seats, we're also offering parents the opportunity to get a card that would have the picture, fingerprints, and key demographic information from their children in case they get separated from their parents. Yesterday, Governor Quinn proclaimed yesterday as Missing Children's Day in Illinois to celebrate the progress made in safeguarding children and those missing who have found their way safely home. Our initiative does assist in that progress. On Monday, in addition to our enforcement, a number of officers, including myself, will be supporting the actual meaning of this holiday by standing watch over the Vietnam Moving Wall, which will be displayed at the New Lenox American Legion Post. On behalf of the state police, I wish everyone a safe and enjoyable holiday. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for keeping us all safe. I appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
I know when I asked about why May was the highest fatality month, you mentioned motorcycles, so glad you're watching. And keeping all of our children off motorcycles.
Illinois is doing much better nationally. The trend has gone up as more people ride motorcycles. And one key thing that we find is that when someone does die in a motorcycle crash, a third to a fourth of the time, they don't even have a properly classed license. So that's something we check for at the front end to stop law.
Does that campaign where they say watch the motorcycles, has that been a little bit helpful?
It has been helpful, and we actually do a press conference in concert with that, and we work with a lot of partners like the tollway, like IDOT, Abate, and groups like that. We have joint press conferences where we talk about that. And those key gimmicks do work with people. And I find that even myself driving, when spring comes, you know, keep an eye on the motorcycles. You don't see them in your mirrors as well as you would a car.
We had originally planned to do an energy reduction measures or a presentation on our energy reduction measures. As the agenda took shape, we saw that there was a robust group of presentations that we needed to try to get to and present at this meeting, so we'd like, hopefully it's okay, we postpone that.
So we're reducing some energy.
Right, exactly. There'll be less energy used in our presence. In our presenting, so but we will go over that in June. We have, I think, some very good plans, and also have already taken some action, as you've heard from some of the procurements you've approved today. And Jeff will be able to give that presentation in June. I was very disappointed not to be able to give it. Right.
Well, we are buying some new boilers that will come up later in the agenda, which are going to be energy efficient.
So. Right, exactly. So we're already taking action even without the presentation being given. I'd just like to present, Shauna is going to give an update on our performance measures. As you remember from the beginning of the year, we mentioned to you that we were going to be tracking a specific set of initiatives over the course of the year. This is an update. We don't necessarily, on some of these, have hard data yet on improvements, but an update on where we are as far as the initiatives and how we're working to achieve improvement in these various areas. So, Shauna, if you could go ahead and get going. We thought this was a good way to, you know, link this also to, of course, our quarterly financial presentation, which Mike will be giving shortly.
Of course. Good morning, Director. I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to put this, so maybe I might need a little bit of help up here.
I'll do it, Shauna.
Oh, you will? Thank you. I'm not sure it's quite working. I'm pleased to be here today to present on the progress of the five performance initiatives that we had originally discussed in January and that we've continued to work really hard on this past quarter and that we will continue to work hard on throughout the rest of this year. We, of course, are undertaking these because we are trying very hard to align with leading practices in the industry and to improve transparency and accountability. And just to remind us all on the next slide, of what the five initiatives are. I want to quickly go through them. Establish a customer campaign to keep IPAS accounts up to date. Right now, about 50% of our first notices go to IPAS customers, and this is in large part due to the fact that they are not keeping their plate information up to date in their account. So Wendy actually leading this effort to coordinate the update the plate campaign, and we'll talk through each of these in a minute. Evaluate and update violations, fines, and fee structure. This goes back to the customer service working group, where we've been talking a long time about how our current fines and fee structure seems to be a little bit out of line with what other tollways are starting to do, where they're taking more of an invoicing approach, and their fines aren't as high, but they are charging account fees. We need to evaluate this. The third one, establish fleet account solutions. Most of the wear and tear on our roads are from the fleets and the big trucks, but our customer service is all geared towards individual passenger cars. So this is an attempt to improve our customer service for fleets.
And not just wear and tear on our roads, but a significant portion of our revenue and customers.
Really. Also true. I mean, they pay the highest tolls. Next one, establish automated credit card expiration dates. This came up earlier this morning, where we've talked about how a number of credit cards expire every single month. And right now, only the American Express ones are updated with a new expiration date. So everybody has to go, all the IPAS customers, about 85% of them use auto-replenish with a credit card, have to go back in to their accounts and update all their credit card information, again, instead of having us do it automatically. And then finally, decreasing the average length of calls to the call center. It has reached almost as high as 7 minutes, and we're trying to bring it down to around 4 minutes so that we can have fewer calls abandoned, serve more people, and really, hopefully, that would also indicate that the problems were less complex and that we were moving everybody through the violations process more in a more expedient manner. So now let's just quickly go through each one to talk a little bit about the work we've done this past quarter and kind of what lies ahead. With this first one, establishing the customer campaign to keep IPAS accounts up to date, we have started working with the Secretary of State to obtain information about who's getting a new plate every month. We can match that up against our IPAS accounts, and in our and unless something goes terribly wrong, we believe we can do robocalls, where we remind those people that we've noticed that they have a new plate, we've noticed they're an IPAS customer, please go out and update your IPAS account information. We've developed the robocall script, and we've commenced outreach to car dealerships and the currency exchanges. Car dealerships, because people are purchasing new cars, and license plates are handed out there. And if they're purchasing new cars anywhere on our tolling system, we'd love to remind them right then and there that they should update their iPass accounts. Currency exchanges is where a lot of people do their registration work. I don't know, Wendy, if you have anything to add.
Just that we posted preliminary meetings with the trade associations that represent currency exchanges and the Chicago Automotive Trade Association, and they've been very receptive so far. So we'll hope to find an update in the next couple of months.
And this will have a real impact on our bottom line, because of course it costs us money to pursue IPAS customers as violators and then ultimately decrease, you know, eliminate the fines, and they ultimately pay the tolls, even if it's a cash toll, or pursue them in some other way.
We lose money every time we have to do that.
Right, so this is has a very immediate, or I should say a bottom line, you know, impact for us. So
we think between this and the credit card account update, we might be able to save up to $300,000 a month just in the customer service expenses that we have to spend when we're actually sending violations to IPAS customers.
I've been involved in public management long enough. I know there's got to be a simple answer to this. Why can we not shift the burden of changing the license plate? If we know they've got new license plates, is there a way that they don't have to go in and do it, but we can do it unless they tell us not to or something?
We've thought about that. A lot of it has to do with how those license plates are registered. So even if the same person is registering them, they might have, they might use different forms of their own name, you know, middle initial, no middle initial, from car to car, from year to year. And it makes it very hard to say for certain that it's their car. And there is, I think, some legal concerns about saying, we put this plate on your account, because then we would be charging them tolls, and it might not be their car. So we had talked through that and thought our best option was to simply call them and say, it's very likely that you have a new license plate. We'd like you to register it. But understood, I mean, that was our first thought as well.
And it would be too complicated to get a part of the Secretary of State's process to be a little checkbox that says, you may give this information to the tollway and change the
We would love that. I think this would be our
first, I think,
yes.
Tremendous stride in getting them to share the new license plate data. But I think that ultimately, you know, we are definitely looking to continue to collaborate with the Secretary of State to see if we can be even more proactive.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Our next one, updating the violations, fines, and fee structure. We've commenced all the kind of benchmarking and initial modeling that we want to put into our discussions with the Customer Service Committee that I believe will convene in July. So that's where we would start walking through these and understanding exactly where we are in kind of the larger world of tolling and the various impacts or potential impacts on revenue that different structures might have. And just to remind everybody on this, again, we do need to come up as a board with a better way to deal with the fines and fees, but it's probably not going to be very implementable until we have a new system. Our current system is hard-coded in all different parts for the current two-year rule, which I know is disappointing. I just want to keep everybody aware of that. We're disappointed, too. Are there any questions about this one? So I'm going to keep us moving then, because I know that we have plenty to cover. Next one, establishing fleet account solutions. So we have documented the system functionality that we want to put into our existing IPAS system that would allow us to better serve fleet by allowing them, instead of updating their license plates online or by phone on this kind of one-by-one basis the way passenger, nor kind of individual drivers like all of us would. But they would be able to send us files and upload all their plates every single month, every single few weeks, you know, every few weeks, whatever it might be, so that they wouldn't keep receiving so many violations. We would get more tolls, toll revenue, and we would be able, again, to give them better customer service. We've also documented the three types of fleet processes that we have right now. One is for government. So for government fleets, and I just want to remind myself really quickly about the metrics. We have 360
government accounts that just pay tolls, and 591 government exempt accounts that don't have to pay a toll because they're emergency or law enforcement or what have you. So we've documented the way that we do this right now, which is highly manual, and are working to try to refine that. We've documented how we handle the truck fleets, which is generally not at all at present, although there are a handful of truck fleets, truck accounts that used to have a post-pay process with us way back when, where we would bill them every month after they've gotten the tolls, and they have continued to call certain individuals in the organization to receive individualized customer service, and I really think this just demonstrates how we need customer service for fleets.
That's clearly important because you have two plates on every truck. You have one on the tractor and you have one on the trailer.
Right.
And they're not always towing and pulling the same trailer. So that's a really
We always tow them on the front plate. Okay. So hopefully we get a transponder read. If we don't, and some, you know, some trucks are the way that they're constructed or how they mount their transponder, we have to detoll, but we always do them on the front plate. But that's in line with other tollways, because we've checked.
I think it's really important, of course, and you've made this point over and over again, is others. This is a huge part of our revenue and a big portion of our customers. So we want to make sure they're being serviced in the right way. And it is a different level of service and a different type of service and different answers than just for an individual passenger who's on the system. You know, this is a little more specialized.
There isn't any question that this is a really important component of this performance improvement plan that you're describing, because that's been a challenge from day one when we went to the open road tolling. So this is good.
We're excited. We know that in a new system we'll be able to do a lot more because tolling solutions have become a lot more sophisticated with how they handle fleets, but we think there's plenty we can do in the interim to better serve them and to increase our revenue. We've also worked on an analysis of the way that we handle rental car fleets. There is a law in Illinois that says that the rental car companies can reassign the violations that we send them. So the rental car companies are the registered owners. So we have to send the registered owner the violations. But they can reassign those violations to whomever it is driving their car. And right now, that reassignment process is largely manual. We send them spreadsheets, they send us back spreadsheets, we reassign everything, and reissue violations. It's painful. There are a number of people dedicated to this process. So we just came up with a way to do this in a more automated manner in the system. We've piloted it, it seems to be working, we're working on a plan to expand it. So let's go to the next one. Is there any more questions? Automated credit card expiration updates. We know that we just worked on approving the next credit card. Fifth Third is our next credit card processor. So we will continue to work on getting the electronic process in place where they can give us a file and we can update the credit cards automatically. And we've already documented how this will work. It's now just a matter of putting the finishing touches on and starting the programming for the system. Next one. Decreasing the average length of calls to the call center. This has been one of our more complex ones. We've already updated inbound messaging because there is anecdotal evidence that a lot of people who call in don't have all of the information available that they need to, their driver's license, their license plate, their iPad count, their transponder number, whatever it may be. So we've updated inbound messaging to just warn them as they're waiting for somebody to take their call. Please have that stuff ready. We've also analyzed various other options, some of which we think can come to fruition. We're looking at adjusting violation dismissal procedures, just who's allowed to dismiss what, because when people call in with the wrong type, they think the license plate picture is incorrect, which is online violations, but some people still do call in. When they call in because they are an IPAS person and they've received violation, whatever it may be, the way that we handle dismissals right now might be better organized so that things can process faster through the call center. Establishing a callback queue, we're looking into the technology to have people call back, so if there is a long waiting time and they want to abandon their call, we can give them the option to let us just call them right back when somebody becomes available. Improving computer processing capacity, we're looking into this. We think there might be a way to make the screens come up faster and move faster through them. It's complex, it might not work, but we are
certainly exploring it pretty deeply.
And this is something that Shauna organized, and we had all of the senior staff here go to the call centers and kind of watch and listen in on the process of customer calls. And something I think all of us noticed, that for whatever reason, moving from screen to screen takes a long time for the representative who's on the phone, and they're doing a lot of cutting and pasting of information. It's not self-populating as it's moving from screen to screen. So it's definitely, I think, something that is adding to that call time, and of course that means dollars for us. So I know it's good that we're focusing on it.
And the larger the account, kind of the larger the transaction history, or the more plates that are on the single account, the longer it takes for it to kind of come up on screen display. So we are, we've looked into all of this. The upcoming tasks are really to work to adjust the way that we handle dismissals from an organizational perspective, work on the callback technology, continue that system performance analysis I talked about, and with this kind of ties into the rental car reassignment process that I was talking about. That happens right now at our call center. To the degree that we can make it a more automated process, we possibly free up some seats there to actually take that instead of work just on the rental car reassignment. And that brings us to a close of the performance improvement initiative. And my understanding is at this point I would turn the floor over to Mike, who would talk through the performance measurement piece.
The quarterly financial report.
Mm-hmm. Any final questions? Thank you very much.
No, this is really, we at this point, because you can see we're trying to take action on these items, there isn't necessarily data to share, but we're hoping that in the coming months and this quarters, we certainly have the baseline of what our performance was in these different areas, and we'll be coming back to demonstrate, you know, how we're seeing movement.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Shauna, good morning. All right. A little bit of background for the first quarter of financial review. This is a report that we prepare each quarter to update the board on the status of the operating budget, the capital budget, and revenue projections, and actual revenues collected for the year. In the 2011 budget, we did take a conservative approach to developing that budget. I think the board and the chair of the board, the executive director, had expressed their desire to have a budget that was based on conservative revenue estimates, one that continued to try to make the operation leaner and more efficient so that we could utilize as much of the resources that the tollway had for its capital repairs and improvements. But also we had gone through a year in 2010 where we had to make adjustments to the revenue estimates, and there were some concerns about how quickly the economy would grow. So, as you can see, the 2011 revenue, or excuse me, budget was based on revenue of $680 million, which, as you know, is primarily toll revenue and recovery of evasion. That revenue was allocated $255 million for maintenance and operations, which is 4% less than what was budgeted in 2010. $251 million to service the debt on the bonds that have been issued to finance our capital improvements over the years. And $174 million of current revenue that's available to fund ongoing capital repairs and renewal and replacement. So for the first quarter, revenues exceeded our amount allocated for the first quarter, the budget amount, by $3.5 million. And as you can see, $3.7 million positive variance in toll revenue and evasion recovery, and all of the other sources are within $100,000 of the estimate for the quarter. So the real area to focus on, I think, here is toll revenue and evasion recovery. That $3.7 million variance is split roughly $1.7 million in additional toll revenue and $2 million in additional evasion recovery above what we had anticipated for the first quarter. If we go to the next slide, it might help explain why that's the case. passenger vehicle traffic, while we believe it was impacted by some winter weather conditions, as well as the increasing fuel prices, did grow 1.2% in the first quarter. But the real, items that stand out here is the increase in commercial vehicle traffic, which we think is reflecting, in fact, an improvement in the economy. 6.4% growth in commercial vehicle traffic, and probably most importantly, the large commercial vehicles, which represent the largest share of our commercial vehicle revenue, increased 7.6% in the first quarter, and we're talking about in comparison to the first quarter of 2010. Go to the next slide, please. All right, with respect to the operating expenses, the operating expenses in total are about 1% under budget for the year, for the first quarter. That's positive, given that we knew that this was going to be a budget that required continued focus and management, given the reduction from last year. We have a couple of areas I'd like to point out. There was a lower costs in contractual services, 3% less than what we had estimated for the first quarter. We believe that's attributed primarily to lower costs of image review and lower call volume in the customer service center. Materials, operating supplies, and other expenses were above budget for the first quarter. And this reflects what we believe was a more harsh than average or more harsh than normal winter period in that first quarter, particularly roadway materials, salt, calcium chloride, roadway abrasives. We expended more for those items than we had anticipated in the first quarter. Utilities is really a timing issue. There are some bills that we know that are outstanding that were delayed in receiving. Parts and fuel, I think this is no surprise. Again, the harsh winter weather conditions, the use of the trucks on the roadway, as well as the increasing fuel prices contributed to the costs exceeding our allocation for the first quarter. And finally, under equipment maintenance, again, I think the ongoing efforts of business systems to look at how the contract is structured with respect to how we pay for maintenance on our toll collection equipment, as well as the management of the hours that are expended, has helped reduce costs in that area. From this, obviously, there are two areas that we are going to continue to monitor and attempt to accommodate within the remainder of the operating budget, and that would be the materials and supplies and fuel costs. So that's an area we'll have to focus on and be very diligent in making sure that we conserve those resources to the greatest extent possible. Next page. On the capital side of the budget, we had estimated expending about $35 million in the first quarter. We have spent $16 million in the first quarter, $19 million less than we had anticipated. About three-fourths of this, we believe, again, is related to scheduling. Winter weather conditions are difficult. It's hard to get out there in the field when we would anticipate getting into the field to start doing work or closing jobs from the prior year. About 20 to 25% of that, primarily in the Veterans Memorial Tollway, reflect a closeout of projects that were started in prior years that we now realize are coming in under budget. I think Paul had maybe alluded to this a little earlier, that there's about $30 million or so that total that we think may develop over the course of time as we close out these projects. Next page, please. We did want to talk a little bit or speak to the issue of gas prices. This line shows the 28-day rolling average. This is a Henry Guerrero special. He's been planning. 28-day rolling average of the percentage in changes in transactions over over the prior year. Year to year, actually, it's expected revenue, not transactions. So the percentage growth in expected revenue over the prior year on a 28-day rolling average basis, which helps you to kind of eliminate some of the noise in the daily or weekly schedules. As you can see, we were doing very well last year with, or very well toward the end of last year with respect to growth on our system and expected revenue. In February, the storm created a significant drop-off. Lost more than a full day of revenue as a result of that storm event, I think about $2 million. It came back up after that storm event, but fuel prices have impacted, we believe, the passenger vehicle traffic in particular and has reduced that growth on a year-to-year basis. You can see that it is starting to climb up a little bit now. It's about 1% in recent weeks. Total employment is growing. Total employment and the economic growth has helped to a degree as well. It's growing about 1% year over year. So if you go to the next slide, please. So with respect to the overall outlook for toll revenue, we project the toll revenue growth that's necessary to meet our budget estimate for the year is 1.2%, or $7 million above the actual 2010 revenue. We actually grew 5% in the first quarter. Some of that due to more traffic, some of that due to continued efforts to reduce the non-payment of tolls, adjustment of the equipment and so forth on the system. But little or no growth because of that solid first quarter is required for the remainder of the year to reach our revenue estimate. Continued high fuel prices could contribute to modest shortfall in toll revenue for the remainder of the year if fuel prices were to stay at $4.50 a gallon or so. I think Henry had estimated that it could impact us to the tune of a couple of $1 million below what our projection was, but a fairly limited exposure even with higher fuel prices. Efforts to reduce non-payment of tolls, such as the effort with the Indiana customers, as well as the fine-tuning of our equipment with respect to collecting all of the transactions as they occur, have largely offset the negative impact due to higher fuel prices. And again, assuming that economic conditions continue to grow, the economy continues to grow as forecast, and that fuel price increases moderate, we would expect to be able to exceed the 2011 budget estimate. But we will need to continue to monitor the economy and fuel price conditions. Questions?
Just want to, in absentia, thank Bill Morris, who was asking about the impact of fuel prices, and I think incorporating that into this presentation is very helpful. It was a question that we assumed that the other directors would have, and so Mike and Christy got ahead of it, and I think this was very useful. And there's actually a longer paper, if anybody's interested in looking at it, that explains the relationship.
I think we've made it available to the directors if you're interested. It is technical in nature. I do think, you know, it's very light reading. A couple of pages, very light reading. But, you know, thank you, Mike. I think that was helpful. And if I just may also say, I think it just demonstrates, particularly the issue we've had most recently with fuel prices, which is all of the unknowns that can impact our traffic and our revenue. And I think we're wise to be conservative in our budgeting and how we budgeted this year so that we're in a better position to accommodate those.
Thank you. So, you missed our thanking you for getting to think about fuel prices.
We did. We thanked you for getting us. The chair thanked you in particular for getting us to think about fuel prices. Oh.
Any other questions?
You're welcome.
Everybody is riveted by the paper. Anything else on the quarterly financials? If not, just public comment. I've received no indication that there's anyone here who wishes to make a public comment, but if there is, you should. Okay. So let me move to my portion of the agenda. First, let me ask for approval of the minutes of the regular board meeting and the executive session of the April 28th.
So moved.
And the March 16th board meeting. I heard a motion.
So second. Moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much. I'm sorry some of those minutes came out a little bit late. I think so we got behind the curve on that. Appreciate people's patience with that. I just wanted to say three other things. First, we would ask for an update from the Oasis work group. Director Weisner did not feel well, so he left home. Director Cannon is going to fill in for him and talk about the meeting that was held last week.
We'd love to. We met this past Monday. And the staff first gave us an update of the smooth 7-Eleven transition. Glad to report no complaints from any customers and or any of our staff on the transition, and all seems to be going well now. We were also given a presentation on our continuing effort to provide a decision on the electronic billboards that are being requested to be placed actually on the side of the Oasis going each way. CBS was here and made a nice presentation and answered a number of the questions that we've had. We've asked the staff to continue in that due diligence process, come up with a consistent set of conditions so that we're fair to everybody as we go forward that makes requests for billboards. Staff will get back to us on that, and we hope to get back as soon as possible with both CBS and the property manager on the request for those billboards. We also received a report from the bank's property manager. All things seem to be going smooth at the Oasis. While foot traffic is up, it seems like gross revenues are fairly flat. They have some new food court members that will be joining some of the Oasis over the coming months, and we'll keep monitoring how that any growth in revenue or any problems in the actual running or operating of the Oasis themselves. Finally, equally as important as everything else, we have commenced discussions with SFI to try to come to some happy medium where we can accelerate a program to repair and perhaps even completely redo the parking lots. That seems to be a continuing problem with the changes in weather and growing potholes. And at some point in time, filling the potholes doesn't seem to be is going to be a very, very good answer, even for the short term. So we're trying to accelerate those discussions and hopefully can reach some agreement with SFI over the coming months, and we'll come back to the board with some suggestion on how we can get these parking lot problems solved.
Thank you, and thank you to the staff and the other members of the work group. Just to underscore, there has not been a final decision made on the electronic frontage, so everybody understands. Were there any questions for either Director Cannon or other members of the...
I would like to... I visited a couple of Oasis the last couple of weeks just to kind of go see what's going on, and they seem cleaner. And I think you can see, as someone who now feels that's part of what we're supposed to do when we drive on the tollway, actually you can see an improvement, and I think a lot of that is attributed to the committee, which is keeping an eye on the process, so that's a good sign. Now we just need to make a little more money and share some of that with us.
Yes. I recommend everyone stop and have a snack on the way home.
Increase our foot traffic.
Taco Bell has a special.
And I'm sure.